Today, I'll be talking about Isaac's wife, part two, and some background. Abraham's servant met Rebecca outside the town, and the servant was thankful to God that he had met Rebecca, a suitable wife for Isaac. So if you recall the narrative in scripture, he sort of prayed to God that if any woman who comes out to fetch water would allow him to have a drink and also offer to fetch water for his camels, and that would be the woman suitable for Isaac. And Rebecca came along, and true enough, he asked for water, and Rebecca immediately gave him water, and not only gave him water, she also offered to bring water for the camel. So as you know, there are 10 camels, and after a very long journey from Canaan to Haran, the camels would be very thirsty, and to fetch water for 10 camels is no mean feat. Rebecca would have to go to the well many times, and it's a heavy job for a woman to bring water and sort of pour it into the trough for the camel to drink. And so it shows Rebecca was not only caring, and shows her heart to strangers to help them. She also has a heart for animals, and she was willing to put in all her energy, strength to carry, to bring the water for the camels. And not only that, Isaac asked Rebecca, and Rebecca told him, so not Isaac, the servant asked Rebecca, and Rebecca told him she is the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Nahor. And Nahor was the brother of Abraham. So that makes Rebecca a close relative, close enough relative to Abraham. So it is God provided for the situation. Yes. And servant was very thankful and requested whether he could go and meet the parents and also have lodgings for himself and the animals. And Rebecca said, yes, there are suitable lodgings at her house for him as well as for the camels. So the servant went to Rebecca's house. He met Rebecca's brother Laban and her father Bethuel. Okay, let's look at the family tree. So there you are. This is the family tree. And Rebecca is here. She's the daughter of Bethuel. Laban is her brother. Bethuel is the son of Nahor, Abraham's brother. So you see, Abraham's son is Isaac here. Isaac is looking for a wife, and Isaac and Rebecca finally end of the good ending was that they got married. So Rebecca is a close relative of Abraham, Abraham's nephew's daughter, right? Because Bethuel is Abraham's nephew, being the son of his brother. And it is the nephew's daughter that got wedded to Abraham's son, Isaac. So let's move on. The servant then went to Rebecca's house and met Laban and Bethuel. The servant told his host the task given by Abraham to him. So let me read from scripture, from Genesis 24:37. And my master made me swear, says the servant, saying that thou shalt not take a wife to my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I dwell. So the servant told the host that Abraham made him swear not to marry Isaac to the Canaanites. But thou shalt go unto my father's house and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son. So Abraham made his servant go to his relative's house in Haran to find a wife for his for Isaac. And I said unto my master, peradventure, the woman will not follow me. That's a very natural response. What if the woman in Haran doesn't follow the servant? You know, servant is a stranger. And he said unto me, the Lord before whom I walk will send his angel before thee, will send his angel with thee, and prosper thy way. And thou shalt take a wife for my son of my kindred and of my father's house. Then shalt thou be clear from this my oath, when thou comest to my kindred, and if they give not thee one, thou shalt be clear from my oath. So Abraham was very confident, full faith in God, that God will provide such a woman to the servant to bring back to Canaan. And if he fails to do so among his relative in Haran, then that servant will be cleared of the oath, will no longer be bound by the oath that he swore. And I came this day unto the well and said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, if now thou do prosper my way which I go, behold, I stand by the well of water, and it shall come to pass that when the virgin cometh forth to draw water, and I say to her, give me, I pray thee, a little water of thy pitcher to drink. And she says to me, both drink thou, and I will also draw for thy camels. Let the same be the woman whom the Lord hath appointed out of my master's son. So the servant related to the host, yeah, this is what I pray to God, that if a damsel come by and I ask for water to drink, she gives me water to drink, and more than just giving me water to drink, she offered to water my camels as well. That will be a suitable wife appointed for my master's son. The same be the woman whom the Lord have appointed. That means it is God given a person for Isaac to marry. Yeah. Of course, the test is understandable because the servant is looking for a good wife. In those days, a good wife must be one that is hardworking, strong, able to fetch water to and fro from the well to back to the home. And so if she can fetch water from the well for the camel many times, she is strong and healthy and full of energy to do the job. And more importantly, she has love and consideration for animals. So if she has consideration for animals, she will surely have consideration for other people as well. So very well thought out plan. And of course, the servant committed this plan to the Lord. And the Lord, of course, knew this plan and brought Rebecca along the way. Everything went through smoothly because it was the Lord's will that Rebecca is the suitable candidate for Isaac. So let us move on. And the servant wished to know whether the parents would let Rebecca go with him to Canaan. So let me read on. Verse 24. When the servant says, let me have a little drink from your jar. And she said to me, both drink thou, and I will also draw for thy camels. Let the same be the woman whom the Lord hath appointed out of my master's son. And before I had done speaking in my heart, behold, Rebecca came forth with her pitcher on her shoulder. And I went down unto the well, and she went down unto the well and drew water. And I said unto her, let me drink, I pray thee. And she made haste and let down her pitcher from her shoulder and said, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. So I drank, and she made the camels drink also. So perfect, you know, every step of the plan was carried out by Rebecca. And I asked her and said, whose daughter art thou? And she said, the daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bare unto him. And I put the earring upon her face and the bracelets upon her hands. And I bowed down my head and worshipped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, which had led me in the right way to take my master's brother's daughter unto his son. So the servant was overjoyed. Okay, everything fell into place. Not only is she a hardworking, considerate, and helpful maiden, she was a relative of Abraham. Yeah, the relationship is all there. Yeah, mentioned by Rebecca towards the servant, and so the servant praised and thanked the Lord. And he said, and now if he will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me, and if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. So now the servant turned to the host and asked, will you allow Rebecca to go with him? Well, the host, being the father, the mother was also there, allow Rebecca to follow him back to Canaan so that Isaac could marry Rebecca. So the parents agreed. It was God's will for Rebecca to go. If you read on, then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing proceeded from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good. So they say, look, the whole event came from the Lord, and they cannot be opposing the Lord. Behold, Rebecca is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord have spoken. So they are convinced that the whole train of events was the making and the will of the Lord. And so they say, please then go and take Rebecca with him. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. So the servant was very happy to hear the consent of the parents. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave to Rebecca. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. And they did eat, and the men that were with him and tarried all night, they rose up in the morning, and he said, send me away unto my master. Okay, so let me stop here, and let me just ask a question here. What are the evidence that it is God's will for Rebecca to go? Of course, naturally, that there must be sign that Rebecca is the right person, that in accordance with God's will for Isaac to marry. So what are the evidence? So very clearly, the servant set the test at the well, and the servant committed that test to the Lord. And he said, Lord, if it's thy will, let this woman come, let me have a drink, and also water my camels. And sure enough, you know, the Lord provided Rebecca, and Rebecca followed to every detail according to the plan, without knowing that it was the plan of the servant. And not only that, it turned out that Rebecca was a relative of Abraham. What Abraham was looking for Isaac, a relative from his own house in Haran. And so it's not mere coincidence. The Lord provided Rebecca. So clearly, these are evidence that it is God's will for Rebecca to go. So the spiritual lesson is, how do we know whether it is God's will for us to carry out an event? How do you know whether it is God's will for us to carry out an event? So these are some of my suggestions. Commit the event to prayer and Bible reading to discern whether it is God's will. Consider the circumstances. Example, whether there are push and pull factors to carry out the event. If we decide to carry out the event, the process is generally smooth. There may be difficulties and troubles along the way, but these will be overcome with God's help. So let me talk about it in more detail. What do I mean by all these points? First of all, it's very common, or maybe not uncommon, for us to look for another job. Yeah, and of course, we want to do it with God's blessing. We don't want to end up in a place where it's not blessed by God, and then we end up in many, many troubles in the new workplace. So commit that event to prayer and Bible reading to discern God's will. Whether it's God's will for you to leave the present job and to go to another place. Of course, the Bible is not going to be very direct in your answering your question. Say, okay, please leave your current job at ABC Private Limited and join the new company XYZ Private Limited. You will never find that answer in the Bible. Yeah. So naturally, the Bible gives you general principles of what you must do. Yeah, do everything according to the general principles of the Bible. And then consider also the circumstances in your life at that point in time when you pray, when you're leaving to a new, when you're going to a new place of work, whether there are push and pull factors to carry out the event. These are what I usually look for when I leave a place. I will pray, I will read the Bible to discern the general principles, remind myself what are these general principles in the Bible, and then also whether there are any push factor and pull factors. In other words, are there reasons that push me out of my current job? Do I have very unreasonable bosses subjecting me to abuse, scolding, unreasonable workload, expect me to work 24/7 or very long hours, that is, and then it affects, and then it starts to affect my health. I can't sleep, can't lost my appetite, feel out of sorts, dragging my feet to the workplace every day, no interest, lost my motivation. So these are push factors that push you away, so-called push you away from your present workplace. And what are the pull factors? Is there another company that is offering me a job? Is there another company that would look upon my skill with greater attraction, with greater appreciation? Is the pay reasonable? Reasonable enough, not just for myself, but also to support a family? What do I think of the workplace? Is the work suitable? Can I fulfill the obligations and the skills required in the new work? So these are pull factors that will attract you to join a new place. So for me personally, this is what I would look for. I would usually not join a new company if there are no push factors. Only when, because I feel, with respect to my own personal decision, that the push factor is a signal from God for me to leave. And there must be strong push factor. And so most of the time when I leave for another job is because there are strong push factors. And then after I got those strong push factors, then I look for companies that would look for people with my skills. And I go for interviews. And then if I find the job is suitable, something which I can fulfill, accomplish, and deliver satisfactorily, then I would accept the offer. Yeah. So push and pull factors. Naturally, this is an application for myself. Yeah. I'm not saying that all of you must have strong push factors before you leave. No. Okay. It is quite subjective. But this is the principle that I would use for my personal circumstances. So each of you, you have your own relationship with God, and you have your own circumstances, which are different from mine. So you have to feel your way and understand God's will for you. How does God make His will known to you? So He makes His way known to me different way, and in different way in your case. So we are all different. There's no one size fits all. So in your case, it may not necessarily have push factor. You know, there are other reasons that pull you to a different company. And if it's God's will for you to leave based on the pull factors, then so be it. So, and of course, moving on to the next point, if we decide to carry out the event, that means move to a new job, the process is generally smooth. As in, you fit in the role you're supposed to play and you are able to deliver the deliverables in the job, whether it's a service or it's a product or a certain work you are able to deliver and it is satisfactory. So, and there may be difficulties and troubles along the way, but these will be overcome with God's help. Naturally, if you are in a new job, there will be some new way of doing things, and then you have to deliver new things which you have not done before, but you can still pick up along the way, and you have to make some changes to your work, but it will be overcome with God's help. Not a big problem. So that would be God's will. Yeah, it's just like when the servant went to Haran to look for a wife for Isaac. You know, it's not going to be plain sailing for him because it's a long route. He's subject to the weather, the heat, the wind, and all the weather, all the natural elements. So it's not smooth sailing. Yeah, there are some issues along the way which she overcome and reach his destination, and then finally happy and God provided ending. So it's the same way in our life. If we want to carry out an event, we want to know that it is God's will for us to carry out the event. And how do we interpret that it's God's will? Yeah. So these are things which you have to pray about and consider. How does God reach out to you in signaling to you that it is his will for you to do a certain thing or to complete a certain event? So important to discern God's will. And so the parents asked Rebecca whether she would go with the servant. Rebecca agreed to go with the servant. Let me read verse 58. And they called Rebecca and said unto her, "Will thou go with this man?" And she said, "I will go." So at the end of the whole consent process, not only the parents consented, the lady also consented. So it is not like the parents say, "Okay, we have decided Rebecca go," and she has to just comply, even if it's against her own wishes. No. The parents here ask her whether she would like to go, and she herself gave consent that she would go. And so servant and Rebecca left for Canaan. So they sent their sister Rebecca on her way along with her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men. And they blessed Rebecca and said to her, and they blessed Rebecca and said unto her, "Thou art our sister, be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them." And Rebecca arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebecca and went his way. So it was a very happy ending. So on and so forth. The story went on that at the destiny, they met Isaac, and Isaac took her to her mother's tent. Mother has passed away, and Isaac married her. Yes? So moving along, based on the circumstances, the marriage was arranged by God. Yeah? You look at the series of events that came to pass. Was God blessed, God provided, God arranged? Does that mean the marriage will not have trouble? Isaac and Rebecca coming together, God arranged this marriage. Answer is no. If we read subsequently in scripture, Rebecca favored Jacob and told Jacob to deceive Isaac into giving the best blessings to Jacob. So there will still be differences between husband and wife, because if you read on in scripture, you read that Isaac favors Esau and Rebekah favors Jacob. So husband and wife are different. And then Rebekah told Jacob to deceive Isaac by pretending to be Esau. And so that's what Jacob did. He pretended to be Esau because Isaac was almost blind. He couldn't tell whether it was Jacob or Esau. And Jacob put on certain cosmetics to make himself look like Esau. And Isaac was deceived. And Isaac then blessed Jacob with the best blessing, thinking that he was Esau. Yeah, so there you are. Difference between husband and wife still exist. The spiritual lesson here, how to maintain a loving marriage. So if you go before the Lord in a wedding, in church, and you are married before the Lord, it does not mean that your marriage is going smooth sailing. Everything will be a bed of roses. There will be no trouble, no quarrels, no differences. No, it is not going to work this way. If you follow the Bible, there are some principles of a good marriage. The couple must not be unequally yoked. This is a very common verse that we quote for husband and wife to be in the same faith. Yeah? Because not just because it will be easier to get along if you're in the same faith. It is God's command. It is God's word to us that we must marry a spouse of the same faith. Now, if you break God's word, break God's law, then we are not in a good place. Yeah. So we should not break God's word here. Husband to love his wife. Another important verse. Let me turn to it. Is it Ephesians 5:25? Ephesians 5:25. Okay. This part of scripture is about what must the couple do to have a good marriage relationship. An important part here is, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Let me repeat. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So, what does that mean? It means that you have to love your wife. What does that mean? It's not just about being physically loving. It is a commitment to love, meaning it will be demonstrated in the gentleness of your words. Be not harsh. Don't scold your wives. Don't belittle or mock your wives. Be gentle in your words. And I find this to be quite difficult for men, because men are usually rougher and not so gentle in our dealing with events, in our dealing with people. We tend to be quite curt, get to the point, get the things done, move on. So it's all about functionality for men. So we tend not to be gentle. We tend not to be patient. We tend to be fast. We want things fast. Get on with it. Get on with it, you know. But then the wife will be quite annoyed if we are not gentle. So how then we are told to love our wives? Yes, loving our wives means we have to be patient. We cannot just get on with it, get the thing done, move on. That's not loving our wives. We have to be patient. We have to be gentle in our words. Not curt, not rude, but things that will come out from loving your wives. And not only that, so it compares the love with even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. So this is what it means to love. Like Christ loving the church and gave himself for it. Do you know what that means? I shudder to think about this, you know, that the love for a wife is compared to life, giving his life for the church. That is a very, very tall order. We are told here that our love must be so loving that it is like Christ's love for the church, giving his life for the church. Ponder here. Have you thought about that? And what that means in our relationship, in our husband and wife relationship? We are not talking about, oh, helping your wife in the kitchen, cleaning the house, washing the dishes, looking after the children, going marketing with the wife. We're not talking about this. We're talking of far, far more, a higher, very high duty of love, even to the extent of making the ultimate sacrifice. Because he says in verse 25, like Christ who gave himself for the church, he gave his life for the church, he sacrificed himself for the church. That's the love of a husband. So, and that is in scripture for husbands to do for the wife, to have a happy marriage. So, I mean, if you think that, oh, that you're already loving your wife, ponder upon this. So what is harshness? What is being so quick in your with your temper with your wife? Or being so rough in your words, being so harsh, being so matter-of-factly with your wife? We are nowhere there. Scripture says our love must be to the extent of giving our life to our wife, dying for our wife. Okay, let me move on and look at next point. Wife to submit to the husband, Ephesians 5.22. What does Ephesians 5.22 says? Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Let me repeat. This is the duty of the wife to the husband. Wives, submit yourselves unto your husband, unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Okay, what do you mean by submit? Submit means give in, right? Give in. Give in. What do you mean by give in? When there is a difference between husband and wife, wife, give in. That's the meaning of submit. Give in. How to give in? As unto the Lord. Wives, do you submit yourself as unto the Lord, as unto God's word? Yes, I'm sure you do. God says, don't tell lies, you don't tell lies. God says, don't cheat, you don't cheat. God says, don't deceive. Yeah, so you submit to the Lord according to God's word. So in the same way, you submit to husband when there's a difference. So if I may compare the two duties between husband and wife, wife, nowhere does it say that she has to lay down her life for the husband. Unlike Ephesians 5.25, where it says, husband, you must love your wife as in the same way as Christ laid down his life for the church. We have to lay down our lives for the wives in Ephesians 5.25. In Ephesians 5.22, it is not such a heavy burden on the wife. It didn't say, submit your husband and lay down your life for the husband. So very objectively speaking, I find Ephesians 5.25 is a much, much heavier burden, a higher standard than Ephesians 5.22. And that is what is required for a marriage relationship. God has required the husband to bear the heavier burden, to love the wife even unto the ultimate sacrifice for the wife. And if husbands do that, wife will surely submit to the husband. If the husband's love for his wife is unto the ultimate sacrifice and the wife knows it, the wife will surely submit to the husband. I am to believe that this will work. So from the above verses, each party must give in to the other. Why? A husband, you must love your wife and give in and not quarrel with the wife and not be harsh to her. And wife, you must submit. Give in to your husband when there is a difference. So each party has to give in to the other. husband have to give in more to the extent of laying down your life for the wife, as required under Ephesians 5:25. So let me move on. Next spiritual lesson. Does the lesson teach us to let our daughters go with strangers? As you know, the lesson of Abraham's servant looking for spouse for Isaac, the ending was that Rebecca went along with the servant, although the servant appeared to be a perfect stranger. Yeah? And the answer, of course, is no. Yeah? It does not mean that if you have a daughter or if you some stranger come to you and say, go with him, you let the daughter or a member of your family go with the stranger. Yeah? The narrative in Genesis 24 is an exception and clearly divine inspired. Yeah? So generally, daughters and girls ought not to follow any strangers until the identity is verified and circumstances established by third parties. And of course, in this day and age, it is easy to verify identities and also establish circumstances. And it is also known in this day and age that there are many scammers around, many dishonest people around, trying to lure you into parting with your money and your properties. So be careful about strangers, people coming out with a story and then trying to deceive you by a story. So always verify, always check with third parties and other sources as to the truth of what the stranger is saying. So I've come to the end of this lesson, and I hope that it has been helpful to you. Let us go to God in prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, we praise Thee and thank Thee for this lesson, how the servant was in the way and You blessed his completion of his task in the search for a wife for Isaac. We praise Thee and thank Thee that Thou art always with us and Thou has given us many principles and direction as to what is Thy will for us in our life. Even in very mundane things like looking for a new job, moving to a new place, a new property, changing your place of living, moving from one apartment to another. Some of these daily things that happen, Thou would direct us and show us the way to go. And teach us, Lord, to come to Thee, Lord, always seeking Thy will. For in Thy will we find joy and presence of mind and good result. Let us not go along with our own will. Many a times we rationalize and put our will as Your will, and then we do according to our own wishes, thinking that it is Your will for us. So teach us to differentiate and to be discerning, to pray, read the Bible, and to interpret the circumstances that Thou hast placed in our path. Teach us to listen with the still small voice that come to our ear and to pay heed to it and to do according to Thy will and not our own will. To do that which is pleasing to Thee, delight to Thee, and thence, Lord, we are in a good place. So we pray for our forgiveness, for forgiveness of all our sins, our trespasses, as we know that to be righteous before Thee, to have fellowship with Thee, will then put us in a good relationship with Thee, for Thou to bless us. We pray all this in Christ's precious name. Amen. I'll stop here.